Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus. Amen. The word of God for our meditation today is the first lesson from Isaiah chapter 62. It's printed on page 4 of the worship folder if you would like to refer to it during the course of the message today. How many of you have ever made a promise that you didn't keep? We all have, right? And there's all kinds of reasons for that. You know, sometimes we just make foolish promises, right? And the way circumstances are, there's just no way we can keep them. But sometimes we don't keep our promises because somebody else didn't keep their end of the bargain. And that's because there are two kinds of promises that are mentioned in the Bible. One is called a conditional promise, and the other is called an unconditional promise. And God made both kinds of promises in the Bible to the people of Israel. One of those conditional promises that God made to his people was that when they came into the promised land, and God gave them that land flowing with milk and honey, he said, I promise you that if you obey my commandments, that if you keep on worshiping me, and if you do not turn towards the idols of all the Canaanite people around you, that you will live and prosper in this land. But, he said, if you fail to keep my commandments, if you turn away from worshiping me and start worshiping idols, I'm going to take that land away. Let me read the words that God himself used to the people of Israel. This is in Deuteronomy chapter 30. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away, and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed, and you will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. It's pretty clear what he's saying, isn't it? If they go in and possess that land and they turn away from the Lord and start worshiping idols, they're not going to be there very long. God's simply going to take it away. That was God's conditional promise, right? And of course, we know what happened. They did not keep their end of the bargain. So God took the land away. But God also gave them an unconditional promise. Do you know what the unconditional promise was? You know, I think you do, right? God's unconditional promise was that I'm going to send a Savior. He had given that promise to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. He said that through the house of David, he would send that Savior. And of course, that's a promise that in spite of them, that God kept. And that's really what this section of Isaiah is talking about. God's talking about his unconditional promise to the people of Israel. And look at what he says in the first verses. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not remain quiet till her righteousness shines out like the dawn, her salvation like a blazing torch. Nations will see your righteousness and all kings your glory, and you will be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will bestow. You will be a crown of splendor in the Lord's hand, a royal diadem in the hand of your God. He talks about their light shining in splendor. He's talking about what would happen when he would send the Savior. And notice what he says, the Savior would bring righteousness and salvation. And we understand those words, right? Righteousness is is perfection and holiness. It's the perfection and holiness we have, well, obviously not because of us, right? It's the perfection and holiness that we have because of what Jesus did. And of course, righteousness and salvation go hand in hand. We have salvation, we are saved because of the righteousness that is ours in Christ. That's what he's talking about. And he says, God is surely going to do that. And things are going to change for the people of Israel. He said, I'm going to change things. I'm going to give you a new name. And look at what he says about that new name. He says, no longer will they call you deserted or name your land desolate, but you will be called Hephzibah and your land Beulah, for the Lord will take delight in you and your land will be married. So obviously a new name, right? We know what desolate and deserted mean. Desolate means that there's nothing there. Deserted means everybody's left. And he said that that's not the way it's always going to be for the land of Israel. He said, the day is going to come when I'm going to call you Hephzibah and Beulah. So you understand? Okay. What do those terms mean? Well, let's understand a little bit, first of all, about why they were called desolate and deserted. Who would have thought that this 2 million plus group of people that left Egypt, with God guiding them with that pillar of fire and pillar of cloud, this people who had walked through the Red Sea on dry land, turned around and saw the entire Egyptian army destroyed, would be called desolate and deserted? Now, who would think that this group of people who marched across the Jordan River, marched around Jericho and the walls came tumbling down, who put fear into the hearts of the Canaanite people, who won victory after victory after victory, would be called desolate and deserted? Who would think that a kingdom of people, a nation of people that was so powerful under King David, and so fabulously wealthy under King Solomon, would be called desolate and deserted? But yet that's exactly what happened, right? In spite of the fact that the people of Israel were so blessed by God, in spite of all the things God had given them, including the promise of the Savior, they turned away. They rejected God as a people. They stopped worshiping in God's temple. They started worshiping the Baals and the Ashtoreths and other gods, idols. So what did God do? Well, what had God told them? If you turn away from me and you start worshiping idols, you're not going to live long in this land. And that's exactly what happened. The land was decimated. It was destroyed. It was deserted. It was desolate. God had come in with the Babylonian and the Assyrian armies, and he carried a lot of the people off into captivity. A lot of them were killed. The magnificent city of Jerusalem was destroyed. The magnificent temple of Solomon was completely destroyed. All of their wealth was carried away. And how is the land described? Desolate and deserted. But see, in this section of Isaiah the prophet is not talking about that conditional promise. He's talking about God's unconditional promise to send Jesus. And he said, when Jesus comes, you're no longer going to be called desolate and deserted. Now, granted, they never got their land back, But they were called Hephzibah and Beulah. Hephzibah means you are my delight. Beulah means married. So see, in spite of all the things that Israel had done, in spite of their rejection of God and his promises, God still delighted in his people, didn't he? Because they were still his people. And he said, I'm married to you. You know, that close, intimate relationship. We are part of God's family. You know, God is saying, you are going to be called Beulah or married because you are my children. You are my people. And I'm not going to go back on the promise I made to send the Savior. And he didn't go back on that promise. When the time had fully come, God sent his son, right? God sent Jesus to pay the full price for sin and to bring people back to him. And hasn't God done the same thing for us? I mean, sometimes we look at the people of Israel and we kind of shake our heads and say, how could they witness all those miracles? How could they receive all those blessings from God and turn their back on him? And we say, I just don't understand. And sometimes we get kind of a bad feeling about the people of Israel and we forget that there were many of the children of Israel who clung to that promise. And when Jesus was born, there were people like Mary and Joseph, Simeon, Anna, and others, right, who were waiting for the promise of their Savior. But we really don't have to look to the people of Israel. All we have to do is look at ourselves, right? We live in a land that is so blessed by God. We are individuals who have been so blessed by God. But yet sometimes, like the people of Israel, we don't give a whole lot back, right? Sometimes, like the people of Israel, we turn our backs on God and we sin. And that's why we come to church every Sunday, and what we do is we confess our sins to God. And sometimes I think when, you know, we're so used to the confession of sins that sometimes we just mouth the words. I want you to look at it, or I'll just read it to you again, the confession of sins that you and I made this morning on page 2. And really look at it. It says, Lord of life, I confess that I am by nature dead in sin. Dead, which means there's nothing we can do to save ourselves because of our sin. For faithless worrying and selfish pride. You know, I do this confession, and the one that hits me real hard is faithless worrying. I got a problem with that, and I know some of you do also. For sins of habit, sins of choice. Think about that. You know, there are these sins that we just keep repeating over and over again, and they're kind of habitual, right? And there's other times when we have a clear choice, and we make the wrong one. For the evil I have done and the good I have failed to do. And not only do we look at the evil we've done, but look at all the opportunities we have had to do good and simply failed to do it. And because of that, God should cast me away from your presence forever. But I'm sorry for my sins. Forgive me for Jesus' sake. That there's so much meaning in those words, and I really hope and pray that we haven't gotten to the point where it has become so routine that we just mouth those words. And we do it every Sunday because it's true every Sunday, because we sin every single day. Do you ever think there would be a time where, you know, we're going through the service and I turn around and I say, well, we are going to omit the confession of sins this week because there's no one here who has any sins to confess? I think that's ever going to happen. Do you think you would ever walk in this door and come up to me and say, Pastor, I'm not going to participate in the confession of sins, and you don't have to speak the absolution, assure me of God's forgiveness, because I didn't commit any sins this week? Is that ever going to happen? Of course not. And because of our sins, we could be called desolate and deserted. But because of Jesus, we are God's delight, and we're married to God. We're part of God's family. And that's what I want you to take home today. God's unconditional promise to send Jesus, a promise that he has kept. And because of the love of God in Christ, God delights in us, and he's forgiven us, and he loves us. Because of the love of God through Christ, we're part of God's family. And that's why we come back week after week to confess our sins and to worship, praise, and thank God for what he has done for us today.